This is Jody Apple.
The golden rule comes from two passages, Matthew 7:12, which reads as follows, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." The second passage, Luke 6:31, says this, "And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise." Today's focus, the golden rule and God. Consider this passage, Luke 6:35-36. "But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful." Let's consider these thoughts. What do you think about the golden rule? For many, the golden rule is just another proverb, a short, pithy statement expressing a general truth or rule of conduct. There are many well-known maxims or proverbs that we hear or repeat regularly. Benjamin Franklin, through his pen name Richard Saunders, recorded many of them in his annual Poor Richard's Almanac. Here's a sampling. "Fish and visitors stink in 3 days. No gains without pains. Do not do what you would not have known. If man could have half his wishes, he would double his troubles. Work as if you were to live 100 years. Pray as if you were to die tomorrow. God helps them that help themselves. Speak little, do much." Some of these, especially those that seem to address religious principles, appear to be straight out of the Bible. They are not. Examples of other familiar maxims or proverbs are these. "A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. A chain is no stronger than its weakest link. A fool and his money are soon parted. A friend in need is a friend indeed. A man is known by the company he keeps. A man's home is his castle. A rolling stone gathers no moss." The golden rule might be understood to be nothing more than some of these well-known truisms. But is that all there is to it? When we read Matthew's account of the golden rule in chapter 7, verse 12, do the words, "whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them," mean anything more to us than "a stitch in time saves nine"? Though most proverbs express rules of conduct and truths to live by, the golden rule, even on the surface of it, comes across as much broader, much stronger in its range of application. It's more than a principle of business, agriculture, physical fitness, or engineering. It confronts and challenges our individual characters, and it does so on such a large scale that when we contemplate its scope, it appears limitless. What's the best way to do just that? We should examine the golden rule in specific biblical context and across all of the biblical revelation as a whole. But we don't have the time to do that here. But we do have the time to note some key thoughts about the scope of the golden rule. For example, within the Gospels, there appears to be a natural golden rule progression. It starts with the love of man, commonly stated as love your neighbor. God's word often focuses on the attention that we should direct toward meeting the needs of others. Paul says it this way, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Those needs can be physical, such as food, clothing, shelter, or healing, or they can be spiritual, like prayer, overcoming sin, or growing in faith. Whatever the need might be, as followers of Christ, we are repeatedly prompted to be mindful of others. Some of the most well-known passages that evidence this thinking are as follows. Leviticus 19:18. "You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Matthew 5:43. you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Matthew 19:19. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 22:39. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There are many other passages in which that expression, love your neighbor or love your neighbor as yourself, occur in the context of the New Testament. But the golden rule doesn't just start and stop with a love your neighbor model. It continues, as we saw in our last lesson, with this admonition, love your enemy. We've examined some of those passages already, but let's mention them again briefly. Matthew 5:44, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Luke 6:27, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. And finally, Luke 6:35, but love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Next, the third and final step in this progression is this, love God. The golden rule principle, love your neighbor, ramps up a notch when we realize that it also includes this principle, love your enemy. We are quite comfortable loving our neighbors, at least as we define them. But if the parable of the Good Samaritan teaches anything, it teaches that our neighbor can be anyone that we have both the ability and the opportunity to assist. Anyone, friend or foe. But believe it or not, the golden rule advances one more step when we move from love your enemy to love God. The golden rule reaches its zenith, its highest, in this third dimension. The command to love God is the culmination because properly loving God necessarily includes and demands that we will love others, our neighbors, as well as our enemies. And it demands that we will love them equally and without distinction. The golden rule anticipates another level of service. While many theologians and philosophers in the ancient world stated a similar principle, known as the silver rule, Christ's statement expresses a stronger truth. The negative silver rule is stated as this, don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you. Though certainly worthy of consideration, we should never do something to others that we do not want done to us. It's possible, however, to follow that principle and to fall short of the truths of the positive statement inherent in the golden rule. Consider these differences. There is a natural progression that moves from doing nothing, for example, refraining or abstaining from evil, to doing something for the right reason, to doing something for the right reason without the expectation of reward, to doing something for the right reason without the expectation of reward, knowing that it's possible you will be punished or persecuted for doing it. In this setting, doing something for the right reason without expectation of reward, even when your good deed might be rebuffed and or rejected, more closely mirrors the nature and character of God. The golden rule, because it so closely and singularly reflects the character of God, must always include the positive and good actions done with the purpose of meeting the highest objective value of every person's needs physically and spiritually. That final element, doing good for the benefit of redeeming souls and being rejected in the process, that defines the Heavenly Father, and that defines the Christ. It cannot be stated any more powerfully Then Isaiah said it. He is despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. That's Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 12. That is the golden rule, perfectly personified in the life and the death of the Christ.